You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So from NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. We're driving in a car, Lars and I, coming back from the All Tomorrow's Party Festival. Let me get on the entrance ramp. So this particular festival, this All Tomorrow's Parties, which is a festival that's 10 years old, started in England, has come to the States for a number of years now, was used to be up in Kutcher's, where we went last time in the Catskills. And this year they moved it to
Asbury Park.
And now we're at a music festival that the Paramount Theater, this gorgeous old theater, was one of the mainstays of lots and lots of bands. It's a seated, beautiful old theater. In that same building was the convention center where lots of bands played, including the headline band and the curators of the festival, which is how they work, how All Tomorrow's Parties work. They have somebody curates the bands. Portishead played two nights, and that was fairly amazing.
The great thing about ATP is that they really try to build a community within 3 days. But most of it was centered around Paramount Theater, the Convention Hall, and kind of like my favorite venue, Asbury Lanes.
We've recorded many of the concerts from the Paramount, the Convention Center, and a little bowling alley we'll talk about in a minute down the street. And on this podcast, we'll play some of our favorites. We'll talk about lots of the things we saw. And on the website, there's going to be full concerts from many of the bands that played there. The way Rumble Strips. The way it works is that we ask for permission for bands we thought we'd be interested in, and then ones we saw who we were interested in that we might not have known about. And it's up to the bands whether they give us permission. And some of the headliners, like Portishead and Jeff Mangum,
unfortunately said no.
Yeah, we respect that totally, but we have plenty of interesting stuff from people you probably have never heard of before, so that'll be fun. Let's pay the toll. And hi there. Can I get a receipt, please? Thank you. Yeah, this is where NPR pays the big dollars. You see that? $4, NPR.
So there's one venue out of all three that I really wish I could have spent more time at, and that was Asbury Lanes. old, converted, vintage bowling alley that's still a bowling alley, but they take out the center lanes and they built a stage right there.
Right. And so people are actually bowling.
People are bowling during the shows, which is great.
And you can't hear a pin drop, I might add, because it's really weird when you see the ball hit the ground and you see the pins go down, the music's way too loud. There's not a chance you hear any of it.
Asbury Lanes very much kicked off the weekend. I think Colt actually started out the whole weekend. I caught about 10 minutes of it. I actually kind of liked Colt. They got a little noisy, which I liked.
Yeah.
And maybe it was the spirit of the venue, but I was kind of into it.
If there weren't technical problems, Colts wanted us to webcast the show, but that was our only, as far as I know, the only technical snafu we had all weekend.
But the band that I'm thinking about was most excited to see, but wasn't expecting it to be so great, was Thinkin' Fellers Union, Local 282.
Let's play a little of that from a concert, and let's come back and talk about who they are. How's that?
We'll be right back. something wrong with me. But I can't taste the smell and I can hardly see. Sleep is my worst enemy.
Was just unbelievably rowdy at this show. If because there are no metal shows this year like last year, like Sun or Sleep or anything like that, so there wasn't really much room to like really let all of your energy out. But the fans of this show were just bonkers.
And knew the words to this, to a group that hasn't played a concert in what?
Well, they haven't put out an album in 10 years. I don't know the last time they played, but it's been a while.
And I think the band themselves were pretty darn surprised by the reaction. You know, you don't play music in a long time. You get together. You don't know who's left, who's going to remember you, what your legacy is. They should have gone home pretty damn happy about what happened that night.
Could you say that they were bowled over?
You could say that, but I'd rather you say that.
Okay.
So that was the bowling alley that night. There were also some great shows from, Bonnie Prince was that night, a beautiful set, gorgeous harmonies with a singer whose name I need to learn. Don't have it in front of me while I'm driving. The Album Leaf, who is a group that is often meanders their way through their songs in very beautiful ways. Nice landscapes they've painted. Last Friday night when I saw them, it felt much more like an ensemble playing songs, tighter, still atmospheric. And the sound at all tomorrow's parties is fabulous. And with all the space that Album Leaf has in their music, it really came out. Let's listen to a little bit of the Album Leaf. And again, we'll have all these concerts online so you can hear them. has a little bit of Album Leaf, another of the kickoff bands in the beautiful Paramount Theater on Friday night, first night of all tomorrow's parties.
We should talk about Saturday.
Okay, but before I do, one of the cool things at all tomorrow's parties is there are comedians, there are movies. I sat and watched Quadrophenia, a movie, a Who movie I had not seen in ages. And about 2:30 in the afternoon, it cranks back up again.
And what a hell of a way to crank up at Asbury Lanes with an 8-hour improvisation put together by the members of Oneida and featuring musicians from Portishead, Boredoms, Guardian Alien. I think a member of Yula Tango even showed up
player.
At some point. So over the course, this it went from 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
I stopped by 4 times, and they were easily, I mean, I don't know the band members. When it started, there were 2 drummers and 2 keyboard players and 4 guitarists and a bass player. At times I showed up, and there were, you know, only 1 drummer, and sometimes it was a woman singer who I think was from the
Guardian Alien.
Guardian Alien. So it was hard to know who was what when, but... it was fun to pop in, very jammy, you know, piece. This was, I assume, not a composed piece. There are musicians that listen well to one another, play off each other. Let's listen to just a little bit of, give you a flavor of what this sort of psychedelic jammy band sounds like. But a jammy band with a lot of edge, right? I mean at their heart, and in a way at the heart of the festival, is...
ATP knows how to dig in to some really outer sounds, and that's exactly what Oneida's Acropolis 3 did.
Dip into many moments of this 8-hour piece, and we'll see if we can try to get the entire 8-hour piece to the website. We'll ask, and if it's there, it's there, and if it's not, we respect whatever the band wants to do.
I think of all the bands that really kind of like imbibe that spirit besides Oneida and these others, there were Swans.
Oh my god, I found you just before the Swans was going to start. And we sat near one another up in the balcony of the Paramount. I wanted to sit a little farther away because I knew it was going to be the loudest concert of the weekend. You think it was?
I think so. I heard Thought Forms was louder, but only because Asbury Lanes is a tiny little venue.
Yeah.
But Swans, it was definitely earplug music. They played for 2 hours. Just a 2-hour barrage of droning, heavy, thudding, very masculine noise rock.
Along with that incredible electric guitar by the leader of Swans,
Michael Gira.
He stomped the stage along with his thrash. He had 2 percussionists behind him. One had those incredibly, what do they call them? They're almost like they're pipes to a pipe organ that you hit with mallets, and I can't remember what the hell they're called.
And Thor was hitting them.
Right, that's right. Thor had the hammer. Thor, you might know from playing with Shearwater, the multi-instrumentalist in Shearwater. And then another drummer who just kicked really hard.
There was a moment during that Swan show where it was just him on a, I believe it was a suspended bass drum.
Oh, yes.
And he just beat the hell out of it for a good 2 minutes straight. And he even beat it off of its stand, and he kept going. And the crowd just erupted.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Swans. Let people hear what the little we have. And we have the entire 2-hour show online for you to hear.
Older bands, more established bands that played at ATP this year. A lot of them gave great performances. But the one thing that you always want to look for at a festival is what's going to be happening next. Who's the new band that we should be looking out for? And there are definitely two groups that were kind of pitted that way. And unfortunately, I saw neither of them.
So you must be talking about Factory Floor.
Right.
Now, I'm going to get a lot of stuff for this, but I saw Factory Floor, a trio. They are electronic trio for the most part. One fellow playing sequencer, a real drummer, and then a woman who processes her voice and plays bass. I have to say, I was incredibly let down by this. I found it very monotonous. I like repetition in music, that's fine, but I also like when it takes me someplace. This band, for me, was more like turning on a switch, full throttle, with a drummer that was an okay drummer, but playing against a sequencer that's, you know, going at a fast dance clip is a really hard thing to do and a really hard thing to interact with. And I'm not sure that, I'm sure for me it wasn't quite there. There wasn't enough interesting stuff, enough intricate stuff between those two percussive elements, the sequencer patterns and the drums, to make it interesting. And the singer just sort of came in and out just a little bit here and there, and again, not adding enough of an element I know this is supposed to be minimalist music. I'm certainly not opposed to minimalist music, but it didn't light my fire. And honestly, although everyone I would run into subsequent to that show, I said, oh man, I was so let down by Packed Floor. People say, oh, I love that show. At the show itself, the 75 or 80 people on the bowling alley watching it looked deadpan. I mean, this was dance music, and I didn't see anybody really move.
Wasn't there to see what it was like. I certainly saw a lot of tweets and whatnot about it. I can't really say anything, but the one that I do wish that I'd seen is Thought Forms.
Oh, yeah. You know, here's the thing, is that Portishead, who blew us away on two nights, I actually stayed for the full second night and subsequently missed a lot of that band, but did see the last song and a half, put in my earplugs, stood right next to them on the foot of the stage. What they lacked in craft, they made up for an energy and enthusiasm, and I liked what was going on. It was psychedelic, it was punky, so I want to hear more. I need to hear their recordings. I want to see them, a full set of them live. Thought Forms is not a band for everyone, and that's true of a lot of stuff that happens at all tomorrow's parties last year, this year, any of the... They are the underbelly of interesting music, and so you're not going to see a lot of quote-unquote popular sort of music bands at this festival, which is one of the reasons why we love going there. But one band that sort of almost didn't fit, because they were, and I think will be, a very popular band this year, is a group called Horrors, who are very much in the David Bowie vein. Their singer has a voice very much like Bowie, not as mature as David Bowie is, and their songs are very catchy. They are song form, which all weekend, you know, there wasn't many artists who had a verse chorus or verse bridge chorus or any of that. The song form is sort of out the window a lot of times at all tomorrow's parties. This was not that case for the band Horror. So why don't we give a listen to something? It may be a good contrast to some of the other stuff we might play, because this is very much a songy band. Here's Horrors. London-based band. I think we'll be hearing a lot about them, and they may even wind up on some end-of-the-year best list. We just had their album up on as a first listen on our site. I'd be curious to know what you think about them. So the next day, Sunday, was kind of a sleepy day, right?
like when you look at what was playing at the Paramount Theater that day, it was Annika, it was Jeff Mangum, it was Earth, it was J.G. Thirlwell's Manorexia, and then it was the Silver Mount Zion Memorial Orchestra. The convention hall was a little bit livelier, but if you wanted to just kind of chill out, Paramount Theater was the place to be on Sunday.
And I know Earth was the one that you were looking most forward to.
Oh, I love this band. So the leader of this band is Dylan Carlson. Earth has been around since the late 80s, really. They kind of inspired the whole drone metal scene. But when they came back after years of being away, they became this kind of doomed Americana band. It's the kind of thing that should have soundtracked There Will Be Blood or No Country for Old Men. Take your pick.
I love this concert. I'm so glad that you turned me on there. February we did a first listen for this band, and I was thrilled by them. They have a cello, lots of space in the music, the guitar distortions and notes ring for long times. But the thing that flipped me out the most seeing them was that drummer. It's like no two sticks hit a drum at the same time, right? And when you think the beat's going to come, listen for it, because we'll play a cut now. Listen for when you think the beat's going to hit, and it's always just a little later than it is. And in like R&B and soul, one of the things is that beat is just happens just before you expect it, and it gives it that kick. This is just the opposite of that, and I loved it. And at first I thought, what's wrong with the drummer? And then I realized, wow, this is really special.
Yeah, Adrian Davies is an extremely thoughtful drummer, and you watch her face and you watch her movements, and there's no wasted beat. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Excellent.
So this is Earth with Old Black.
Thank you.
that was Earth with Old Black at All Tomorrow's Parties 2011. We have that concert and a lot more that you can check out on our website at nprmusic.org.
And I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Lars Gotrich. Here, meaning we're in my car. We're driving home from the All Tomorrow's Parties Festival. I guess one thing that is absent in this conversation, we're talking about bands that are the quieter things. Jeff Mangum was at this festival.
Of New Trimmer Hotel.
And he's been doing a series of acoustic-only concerts. He sits on stage, one single light shines down from above, surrounded by five or six guitars, and just picks from... It was nothing new, right?
It's all old material. He throws in a couple covers. I think when you saw him, he did Daniel Johnson song, and when I saw him, he did a Rocky Erickson song.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know, you never know whether someone like this will make another record. I'm sure it's the elephant in the room, you know.
The elephant six in the room?
Yes, exactly. All six.
Sorry, I'm bad and terrible with these puns today.
You think of him because of his reclusive nature, Jeff Mangum's reclusive nature. You think that he would have done his set and gone hide in a hotel somewhere. But just the opposite. He wandered around like everyone else. The chance you could have run into him in the elevator. I know a few people who stopped him for a photograph or an autograph. Didn't get either of those things, but instead got a hand drawing. He would draw in the notebooks of two people I know. Couldn't tell what the drawing was, but it's okay. They're definitely his. And
that's as good a signature as any.
And people loved Bright, and people loved the concerts. It was a treat, a little nostalgic.
As much as I loved seeing him perform, and I lived in Athens, Georgia, where he originally made his mark. I lived there for about 5 years and grew up in Georgia. And it was really cool to hear those songs again. I guess just my thing is, hasn't made any new material, and I kept trying to fill in the blanks.
You mean the instruments that were not there?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about those recordings, because they are well-written songs. They really are.
Certainly the reason people remember them, I think, is because of the intricacy that all that went on within those songs. But we don't have that recording. We understand and respect Jeff's desire not to have us record that show. And so, onward, what else do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Public Enemy. You know, I've never seen that band. They've been around. They were actually celebrating 20 years of Fear of a Black Planet on Sunday night. And the idea was for them to perform the album in its entirety, which they did sort of. When Chuck D came out on stage, he said, "We're going to do Fear of a Black Planet remixed." So it was essentially a reimagining of their classic album with a whole bunch of other stuff thrown in. And for a band that's been around as long as they have and has made new music as long as they have, it still sounded incredibly fresh.
Huh, that's good.
There wasn't a dull moment there during the entire show. They weren't, like, joking around or doing anything like that. They were consistently on their game throughout the entire set.
Here comes the rain, by the way.
So we're going to hear some rain on the podcast now. I don't know. I was completely blown away by them. It was just a solid set all around. And then it was even cooler when Chuck D came out later that night to spit a guest verse over Machine Gun by Portishead.
Absolutely. I would have loved a duet between Chuck D and Beth Gibbons, but that aside, that was asking for a lot, right?
Right. And apologies if we can't get you that recording of Chuck D and Portishead collaborating, but, you know, there's YouTube. Yeah. A lot of phones went up.
Oh, my God. Which didn't happen the night before when Beth Gibbons stage dove into the crowd. It came too late because it was an incident that was here and gone. I haven't yet seen a video of her stage diving and then crowd surfing. Who would have
thought?
That
was nuts. Who would have thought? Beth Gibbons. Her frail little voice, and then but there was like this huge smile that came over her, and all of a sudden she was standing on the guardrail and stage dove.
It's
fantastic.
Yes.
I think we should end this show with some Public Enemy.
Okay. What do you want to play?
Let's do Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Okay. So there are a whole bunch of shows. Before we do that, there's a whole bunch of things that are online. What do we have?
This is only the stuff that we know about right now. We may get more later, just as a little bit of a caveat. So we know the stuff that we're going to be putting up is the Thinkin' Fellers Union Local 282. We know we're going to be putting up the Album Leaf. We're also going to be putting up concerts by The Horrors, Battles, Colin Stetson, Mark Ribot's Ceramic Dog, Swans, Factory Floor, Public Enemy, Annika, and Earth, and a couple others that we're working on.
Right, yeah. We may see the pop group pop up. We might see
Silver Cluster.
We might see the 8-hour Oneida.
We might see the 8-hour Oneida set go up.
We'll see. We're trying. Thanks to the folks at All Tomorrow's Parties. They're really just a pleasure to work with. They make a fantastic festival. If you've never been, mark your calendar for sometime next October. My guess it's going to, I hope is it's going to show back up in New Jersey. Fabulous time. If you don't mind not sleeping and you don't mind loud music. And thanks to all the musicians that gave us permission to put the shows up and the great talent that was at All Tomorrow's Parties. I'm Bob Boylan, not too far from D.C.
Yep, I'm Lars Gotrich.
From NPR Music.
You're listening to All Songs Considered.
All right, New Jersey, let's go! Come on, y'all! Hear the drummer get wicked.